We're going to have today Brother Eccles, where everybody's going to be combined in here. He's going to be doing a couple of evangelistic type, altar worker type. And it's important for us to learn these kind of things as a church, as the Lord continues to bless and we grow. Eventually, we need help on those things and to try to train and equip other people. And that's part of our duty as a church. So Brother Eccles has graciously prepared a couple of lessons on this that we'll be looking at for the next week or two. Next weekend, I'll be out of town in my sister's wedding. My sister's getting married in Florida, and so I'll be here today, but next weekend, Brother Eccles will be filling in for us. I know that he'll be a blessing to the church, but pray for us as we travel there. We'll be heading out Friday for my sister's wedding, which we're very, very happy for her. So anyhow, Brother Eccles, if you are ready, why don't you come, brother, and share with us and
good morning.
Good morning.
Now, let's weigh out what Pastor just said. He's going to a wedding of his sister's next Sunday. He'll be there. We've been having cold weather. And where's he going? To Florida, yeah. Okay.
You caught that, brother, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Would you pass these out?
Yes, he will.
Look at that. Your light fell off
behind. It's
down by your knee. Oh, my goodness. Well, my knee wouldn't know what to do with it. That's for sure. Sorry about that. Can you hear me? Okay, good. Edie and I are glad to be back. let's take our Bibles and let's turn to John chapter 4. Now, a couple of these readings will be pretty short. John chapter 4, and then after that, we're going to go over to Romans chapter 10. And Roger is overworking frantically on getting some clipboards ready. So let's take a real quick poll. What was the temperature, as far as you know, at your house this morning? 36.
36.
31. 30. Who said that? Wow. Where do you live? Up on a hill?
30.
Oh, yeah. Out. Yep. Yeah. What do we have, Edie? Was it 34? I think it was 34. 34. And I believe our house has a heat pump. And the colder it gets, the less it wants to pump heat.
Yeah.
But it did work. It does work. And we're just thankful for the Lord, for Florence Baptist Church, and for the ministry and the blessing that your pastor has been and is being. And so may God continue to bless and use him and use all of us. And so here's why we're bringing these two lessons beginning today, is that the Lord can use us. Amen. To be a blessing. And this is all part of soul winning going out, but this soul winning is within. So when we're done next Sunday, when we're finished, and we're having a special January 16th day, and, you know, who knows how many people are going to be coming down the altar. And we're going to need some folks that will say, I want to be used of the Lord, and I dare to accept the call of God's call on my life about winning souls. And so this was really where we're at today. So one verse in John chapter 4, and that is verse 35. Jesus said, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white. What does that say? Already unto harvest. Already. There, it's already white. And so the harvest is around us. The harvest surrounds us. And the illustration that was used in this passage, in Jerusalem, I'm going to have to bring a glass like you. Next Sunday, that glass that we've got, let's fill it up with, you know, water, and then I won't flip bottle caps all over the place. So when they would walk out of a village in Israel, or outside the surrounding area of Jerusalem, they'd come out of the village. There's roadways for carts, wagons, chariots, because they were under Roman control, and then people to walk, traverse on. But there were crops left and right everywhere. The fields, as far as they could see, were crops. When they got ripe, the fields are white unto harvest. You ever seen wheat? When wheat gets mature, and most species of wheat, the head will curl over, they'll get heavy. They start lightening until they're almost white. Not snow, but almost. It might almost look like a field full of cotton that needs to be picked. And so that's where we're looking at the harvest. The field is the world, and the harvest are souls. And Jesus is coming very, very soon.
Amen. Right.
Very soon.
Right.
And the field is white unto harvest. It's ripe. It's ready to be picked. We'll get on that a little bit more next week. But now let's go over to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans chapter 10, let's begin reading with verse 10. We'll read down to and including verse 15. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call in him, on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? We're going to continue, but look at that phrase, how shall they hear without a preacher? In this particular passage, a preacher is a dispenser, one that brings forth the word of God. In this sense, a soul winner is a preacher. A woman, a lady, not a preacher of the gospel. I'm talking about not somebody stands behind the pulpit. That's not scriptural. It really isn't. And so on. But can a lady go out and win souls? A woman can? Well, sure they can. And so they're preachers. They're dispensers of the truth of the Word of God. They're giving it to others. And wouldn't this be a sad world, Christian world, if the only people that ever went out soul winning and ever talked to people about their soul were the men in the church? That'd be pretty sad. It really would. It'd be very restrictive, wouldn't it? Sure. Okay. Now, so here we have verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Y'all are sent. Y'all are sent. Need to realize that. You're sent. Now, the question is, will we respond to the command or the licensing, if I could use that phrase, of being sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Father, We love you so much, and we thank you so much, Father, for giving your Son, our Lord Jesus, to die at Calvary in our place on an old rugged cross, that poured his blood out for our sin as the full payment, and who as our sacrifice took all of our sin in his own body and paid the anguish and the separation from you so that we could be saved. And we love you. And we thank you, Lord, for saving us. And now we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to be witnesses and soul winners. And we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Now, the importance of and the influence of being a soul winner, a soul winning Christian, is spoken of in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. In fact, I thank you. I sent a text to Dana this morning. I emailed the scripture yesterday, but I forgot to get this one injected in because it's not in your outline, but it's in my introduction. So here we have Matthew 5:13, and notice what Jesus says. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Our influence is not basic. It is the factor that should be entwined among the lives of people that we communicate with and talk to. Now, have you ever ate something that didn't have any salt at all in it when it was cooked?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, we are kind of like on a salt-free diet. But I remember a while back we got a ham, and it's been a while. And Edie cooked that ham up, and man, I looked at that and I thought, wow, is that good? And we're sitting down at the table, and I said, we had prayer, and then I started eating. And I cut some of that ham up, took a nice mouthful of it, chewing, and I said, did you have to salt this that much? Because we're just not used to salt at all. And we can taste salt in virtually anything. But the ham was delicious, and guess what? We ate it anyway, amen? But we are the salt of the earth. Salt permeates, salt preserves, salt influences, it affects things. You and I are to affect people.
Right.
We're to have an influence. We can be the preservating power in a person's life by giving them the gospel. They can respond and be saved, and we have helped them. Now, may I say this? There are various ways that you can influence people to be saved in addition to the lesson that we have right here this morning. You can send letters from your heart. Have you ever read around Christmas or special time, maybe a birthday, somebody you're thinking of, maybe a fellow employee, you just sit down to write a card of appreciation, and then you begin to write things that might be able to help to influence that person with the gospel. A letter from you, from your heart to them, can make that difference. A spirit-filled telephone call, special days such as Sunday after next, Christmas, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we can just keep on keeping on. Why do churches have special days? Well, number one, Florence Baptist Church is observing special days like Christmas and Father's Day, Mother's Day, and so on. And I don't know if I heard a hint from the pastor this morning or not, but you know, a wild game dinner might be a pretty good deal. Yes, sir. And we used to have that at the church that I was speaking to you about earlier, and a wild game dinner. And you know what? We had something there, and it was the mystery dish. And we were gobbling that thing up. It was about, my goodness, 200 men that came to that. It was just packed, you know, in the fellowship hall. Nick Kenny, right? Okay. I said, Nick, now tell us now, what is the dish that we just ate? He says, are you sitting down? Is everybody ready? Everybody laughed. It was mountain lion. I've never eaten cat before, you know. Remember that text I sent you with a picture, all those cats laying up down the sidewalk? Oh, my goodness. You know, nobody can ever convince me that a cat would taste like a rabbit, you know. I have to tell you, the mountain lion was good. And it kind of hit me a little odd when I found out what it was. So we have the importance of soul winning. Going to culminate with something here. We have at least three clipboards. We will start next Sunday. We will start by putting a clipboard over in this section, one here and one here. And it has church membership and decision card. There will be a pen in it and or a pencil. And then there are tracks. Now that you're saved, what next? And that turned out good. And this is a very, very helpful track. Florence Baptist Church, a friendly Bible-believing church for the entire family. Yes. You know, Florence Baptist Church is for everyone. Amen. Amen? Okay, so, and what we'd like to see is when people start coming forward to that altar, that you will be trained, confident, and at peace that God can use you. And when the invitation is given, when people have their head bowed, the pastor's praying, not being sacrilegious, but older workers will come and take a post off the end of the aisle to the side, and they'll be prepared for whoever the Lord brings. And we'll go into more detail next Sunday on some of the potential issues that you can help the pastor and his ministry to avoid, and in turn be helping him and the church and as you serve the Lord Jesus. Now, looking in your outline, and this is just a simple handout. Did anybody not get a handout? Oh, Ms. Eckel didn't get one. Did we give all of them out? Okay. All right. And yes, sir. Anybody else? Okay, now there, when the offerings pass by, you're to put 25 cents in for one of these. All right, did I do that right?
I think so.
Okay. Here all the time, I thought you were going to Kentucky. I thought, Florida? That you know, what part of Florida?
She's in Gainesville.
Okay.
Yeah.
East Coast.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, East Coast. We started a church in Ocala, outside of Ocala. Okay, man, I'll tell you what. Okay, now look at your first point. Souls, and you've got a pen, hopefully, or a pencil, but you want to, and if you need one, I got one I can let you borrow. Anybody need a pen or a pencil? All right. Now, notice the first. Souls will perish. P-E-R-I-S-H. Perish without ever hearing the message. Notice in verse 14 what that says. And how, and this is the last part of verse 14, Romans 10. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? When the Lord saved me, I was with my wife at home on June 3rd, 1968. It was on a Monday. My wife and I had visited the Heart to Heart Bible Church in Phoenix. It's now moved and names have been changed over the years and everything. But this church used to have a radio broadcast and everything. What a soul-winning church. They'd have John R. Rice in, Lester Roloff, and oh, yeah. But I heard the gospel. I got angry as a hornet. When I was in the Air Force, I'm not proud of this, but there was a young man that went to Cal Palace in San Francisco. We were in San Rafael, Hamilton Air Force Base. It's now closed and is a display base, Air Defense Command, it used to be. And he said, you coming with us, come on, we're going in Cal Palace. Billy Graham is going to be preaching. That place was packed last night. You couldn't eat. It was all standing room. Cow Palace is not a small place. And they came back and they had gotten saved. And he came over and started witnessing to me. I didn't go. I said, I don't want to hear any more of this. And he just kept witnessing. I was sitting on the bed and I stood up and I hit him. And I knocked him flat out in my living area. I'm not happy with that. But I was strutting around, thought, you know, I did my thing, kept, you know, whatever this stuff is around here, keeping it away from me. And then one day, the commander, Colonel Worthington, 78th Air Base Squadron, they were going to Article 15 me on that, and rightfully so. And what does that bird colonel do? He takes his glasses off and sets them on the desk. I was standing at parade rest in front of his desk while he's giving me the charge and the challenge. And he finally said, have a seat in that chair right by the desk. And he slipped over and he got a Bible out. Full bird colonel, Air Force. And he began to give me the gospel. I said, Colonel, you do what you have to, sir, but I don't have to listen to that. And I was set against the gospel. And I barged out of his office, the side door, fully expecting to be brought under control by the air police. And nobody ever bothered me. The Lord just let it go and caused it to let it go for my sake. And our marriage, we got married in on May 15, 1964, at that church, the Heart to Heart Bible Church. My father-in-law told the pastor that I was saved. And I wasn't. I didn't know what saved was, you know. And I thought it was something you got when you go out shopping, a coupon or something. You know, it's all I thought. And gospel was given, invitation was given. I got angry. Took my wife at the invitation, went out the side door of this large church and went over and got our two sons out of the nursery and toddler area, put them in the car, and we drove to our house. We were renting a house in Scottsdale. I filled out a card, and I've mentioned it here before, but it's a card. Would you like a pastor to visit you? This is before I heard the gospel again. See, the Lord was working in my heart, but when I heard it, I got angry. And I said, yes, we'd like a visit. I talked to her, my wife, we're sitting there. What's the best time? I wrote immediately. That's what I wrote. Never forget that. So instead of church-wide visitation on Tuesday, a couple of the men, Al Baines and Ray Spencer, came to our home about 8 o'clock on a Monday evening. I remember looking through that little peephole. I said, Edie? There's a couple of men from your church, you know, hers. And she wasn't saved either. And I was going to go out the back door. I was a pipe fitter and a welder at Motorola. And I was going to help this fella down the alleyway to help build his dune buggy. And I started going out the back door. She started walking. I said, where are you going? She said, I'm going with you. We're going to leave him on the porch. And Al Baines yelled at the top of his lungs, Matt, we know you're in there. Bold. And I said, I think we better answer the door. They know we're here. So I went, played through it all, played with them, you know, just followed along with the game. And I heard the gospel. I couldn't take it. Got to Romans 5:8. But God commendeth. I said, what's that mean? He said, it means God has shown or demonstrated his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners. And he looked at me and he said, while you're a sinner, while I'm a sinner, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He knows what we are, he said. And he died in spite of us. My wife is in drying the dishes still. She's been drying them 3 or 4 times. In the kitchen, just driest dishes I think it ever has been. And I was on my knees weeping. I got saved. Amen. I called for my wife. She came in, dropped the dish towel, ran down the hall. They ran after her into the bedroom and brought her back. And she got saved. I was not being disrespectful. But when my wife prayed to get saved, call upon Christ, I didn't close my eyes. I watched my wife get saved. I saw her get saved. Now, here's some examples in the Bible for soul winning. And on your lesson, notice letter A, new converts set out to win souls. Now, time will not permit, and I trust that you'll read John 1, verse 35 to 51. But notice your first subpoint. John the Baptist pointed two of his disciples, John and Andrew, to Jesus. So he pointed both of them out. Notice in verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Now, notice as we go down right underneath that, earlier they heard John say the following, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. There was a young lady that when I was a student at Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan, started there in 1971, and four-year college, managed to graduate in May of 1974, so we did 4 and 3, going to summer school and everything. But they started, they had 24 bus routes during that time for Sunday school. And Dr. Malone, the pastor of Emmanuel Baptist and the founder of Midwestern Baptist College, he called me in the office one day, and I was in my second year. And he said, we'd like to start a bus route, and we'd like to call it number 24. Would you go out and start that and get one man to work with you? And I said, I'd like that. So we did. First Saturday, a lot of door knocking. We got to a young lady's house. She was a student over at Oakland County Community College, non-Christian, secular school. And she came to the door, had some tears in her eyes, knew something. She'd had a kind of a negative thing happen that day. And Brother Ron and I were at the door, and I said, we're starting a Sunday school bus ministry tomorrow. We're going to be coming by and picking folks up and children that would like to ride to church. She said, I just might like to do that. She said, would you step in just for a moment? And I said, sure. Could we sit at your dining table? And she said, sure. So we sat there, and she began to listen to the gospel, and she got saved. She was so excited, I did not realize how excited that she was until the next morning. I said, now, Barbara Fisher is her name. I said, Barbara, why don't you invite a few folks and see if they'll ride the bus with you tomorrow? And she said, I'd like to do that. The next morning, coming out of her house, and she brought 13 people from the college, 13 students, probably age 18 to in their 20s. And they had never been, all 13 of these had never been in a church before, ever. Now they're going to Emmanuel Baptist on the bus. Out of the 13, all of her friends received Christ as their Savior at the invitation. Ha! Can you imagine this? Her dad down in, Royal Oak, Michigan, was a United Methodist pastor of the very liberal sect. And she said, I want you to pray for my dad that he gets saved. And she had our phone number. She'd call us direct anytime she wanted. And we started praying for him. She called and said, my dad's going to meet me at church this coming Sunday. He came that Sunday. He came in his black suit and his white reverse collar. And Dr. Malone saw Barbara come down and sat with her father. And he looked over at me and he went, it's a big question mark. And I walked over and shook hands and I came over and I said, come on, while they're singing, let me introduce you to Barbara Fisher's father. He's a pastor. Well, the invitation came and I looked over, where's Barbara? She's got her arm around her dad's neck and she's pulling on him. And she's weeping. And I walked down right behind her father, didn't say anything, and just waited. And he turned his head around, the tears are coming. And I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Mr. Fisher, why don't you come down now with Barbara? And we have some folks down at the front, they were older workers, that can help you. And you need help, and we love you, and we're so glad you came today. He got saved. It took a couple of months, but he retired. He got out of that, you see. He was so glad that he became a Christian. Number two, Andrew won his brother to Jesus. Notice in verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon. There was a young man in Georgia, Swainsboro, Georgia, southeast part of the state, big cotton fields. It is so far south that alligators are in the slough and the ponds. And here is this church in the middle of nowhere. And it's running 1,000 people plus. You can't see any houses. I must have drove 3-4 miles to start the meeting with nothing, just a church. And I thought, surely this got to be a joke. And but there was a church there, is a church there. So during the week, we go soul winning in the morning, and there was a young man that the pastor said, Melvin is going to start coming. And I had talked to Melvin that night. He didn't come like on a Tuesday. I said, would you like us to stop by and pick you up? Because he wore leg braces. And sometime he'd wear a crutch, you know, metal crutch. And he'd be in a wheelchair and during the service. But Melvin would come and walk with those leg braces for 1 mile. 1 mile in the Georgia summer where temperatures can easily get up to 100 plus and the humidity is approaching 100, pretty close. And it's a swamp in the air, literally. And it's miserable. Well, let me tell you what happened. The meeting was great. And on the last meeting, we did a Sunday through a Sunday. The pastor said, Brother Melvin has been asking me all week, and I can't say no anymore. He's going to sing. This is the last service, Sunday evening. And I said, okay. Well, he got up on that platform. I remember going over, extending a hand, helped him to get up. One of the men handed his metal crutches, and he walked over to the pulpit, and he began to sing. There was no piano accompaniment. And he sang, and he sang. And I saw him, and I saw his face is moist with his tears from the heart. And I looked out to the congregation. I did not see, that I could recognize, I did not see one dry eye, not one. And there's probably 600-700 people there. And it's amazing. I looked over and whispered to the pastor, it's going to be a change in the service. He said, what do you have in mind? I'm going to give an invitation and I'm going to give the gospel clear. So have the pianist let them know that the end will be at the beginning. And we never brought a message that last service. The message had been brought. And the invitation was given. The altars were back full down the aisles everywhere. And people were being saved. Guess who came forward? people that had to push their way through, but the altar workers, and they were helping people. There was no room on the platform or anything. People were everywhere. Congregation was almost empty down in the auditorium. So they took them out to side offices and dealt with them. But Melvin, God had so much used him, so much the influence. And then we have, thirdly, Philip as a new convert. He won Nathanael. And in verse 46, the excerpt, but it says, "And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto them," what's he say? "Come and what? Come and see." Now, Philip, as a new convert, he hadn't been schooled, he hadn't been indoctrinated, hadn't been taught. He's a babe in Christ, and he knew how to bring his brother to a saving knowledge of Jesus. Number four, Jesus won the woman at the well. Now let's go over to John. And of course, Brother Dana is going to be bringing these up. But in John chapter 4, you have Jesus won the woman at the well. That's basically the theme of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John. And so he won her. And do you know where Jesus was when he led her to a saving knowledge? Look, if you would, John 4, look at verse 6. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well," and it was about the sixth hour. So, letter A in your outline, Jesus was where the people were. Now, you know why working in altar work is such a blessing? It's because people are coming to you. You're going to be down there and you're going to help them. You're going to be a blessing in people's lives. Next week, we're going to equip you. I'm going to go over the quarter till this morning a little bit. But we're going to help equip you so that you're ready to give the gospel out and to see people saved. Letter B. Notice, he began to reveal Bible truth. Notice in verse 10, "Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, Giveth me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." And then notice letter C. He gently revealed her condition and the need for the Savior. In verse 16, "Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither." Do you know why he did that? She wasn't thought very highly of in the village. Oh, no. And so he called her and he said, but wait a minute. Go get your husband. Get your husband. How many husbands has she had? Five. And the one that she's got now ain't her husband. Is not her husband. Oh, listen. The love of Jesus is so wonderful and so deep and so precious. Look at verse 26. In verse 26, "Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he." He won her to himself. There's no way of looking at it any other way. He drew her to himself. Now, in number five, the woman at the well, when she got saved, she suddenly became the woman at the city. Now, we have some special things coming up here in the morning service. I'm going to trim this down. We're going to put it in high gear and finish this. First of all, letter A, she became a bold witness for Jesus in verse 28 and 9. You know why? Because the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, "Come see a man You know what they're all thinking? Yeah, yeah, another one. That's what they're thinking. I can tell you that. And then she said, now, wait a minute. Now, that's something I injected in there, which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Let her be. Some there were won to Christ in the city. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. He pointed out about her five husbands and the one she's living in adultery with during that time. And then, let her see, many were won to Christ after she brought them to the well where Jesus was. Listen to verse 41 and 42. And many more believed because of his own word and said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying. You know why they said that? Because she's had five husbands. She's undependable as all get up. She's unstable, according to the people of the village. And they said, for we've heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Letter D, she evangelized her city. In other words, the whole town turned out because of her testimony. And then I'll give you the blanks and you can read some of the verses when you get home, if you don't mind. Number six is the demoniac. And that is taking place out of verse 5. First, we have, first time we really see much of anything about this demoniac, letter A, verse 3 and 4. He was bound with chains and fetters of sin. Mark chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. Hello? Mark 5, verse 3 and 4. Amen. Who hath his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him. You know why? He's a maniac. He's out of his mind. He's got superhuman strength because of the demons in him. And no, not with chains. Look at verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. He took those cast iron chains and just broke them apart. Unbelievable. All right, letter B. He sees Jesus and comes to him as he is naked and unclean. He's naked as a jaybird. Letter C. Demons go into the hogs in verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down into a steep place, into the sea, the great body of water. And there were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. Now, everybody's going to start changing their mind now, all the village, about Jesus. Verse 15, there is a great change, letter D. There is a great change. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed. He's dressed up. He was naked. He's out of his mind. Now he's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's learning and listening and loving. And in his right mind, and they were afraid. Listen. Letter E. Verse 16 and 17. The choice is, will it be for the village and for us and for people you talk to, will it be pigs or Jesus? Which one? Pigs or Jesus? Okay? And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, thrust him, to depart out of their coasts. And that basically is what that verse is saying. Now, letter F. Jesus challenges him to be a soul winner. Verse 19 and 20. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, what does he say to him? Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And then verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, here's a remarkable thing. In verse 17, we see the great revival. I'll read the excerpt thrust out. Mark 7:33. About a year later, see, they don't want him around. He's killed 2,000 of their pigs. They're a great hog farming area. He came back about a year later, two chapters later, in Mark 7:33. And when he came back to the crowd, the multitude, the demoniac, ex-demoniac, brought the multitude. He went out to Decapolis. He preached for a year and the gospel, and people were converted, and the area was literally transformed. You may be the only one that comes down the aisle, or during the week you witness to, or you invite somebody for January 16th or even next Sunday. You might be the only person that someone will listen to that will cause them and motivate them to come to church. Now, at the end of your lesson, I want you to be a good, fast writer. I'll give that to you. You see the word form, or the form? All right, when you're talking to somebody, and you can use some of this at the altar, but you can use it when you're talking to somebody in the home or on the job or on a break on the job or whatever. But the first one is letter F. You want to break the ice and get to know them. Talk about their family. Their family. A-M-I-L-Y. What's the next letter? O, where we're going to spell form on a vertical. Occupation. O-C-C-U-P. A-T-I-O-N. Did I get that right? I hope I did. Talk to them about their work, things they like. How about R? You're going to now start weaving in closer. Religion. Do you have a church background? Or what kind of church background do you have? Okay, religion. Okay. And now we have M, and that is the message. The message. What are you going to bring them so they can hear the gospel? It's the message. Okay, next week, we're going to go right into the altar. And you got a question, Pastor, be glad to help you. Pastor, I know you're busy. You're welcome to text back. Give my number if you want to be happy to help. Father, we ask now that you'll hide in our heart the things that we've heard. We ask, Lord, soul winning is not deep and dry. It's wonderful. It's living. And it brings life to others. So use each and every one. Anoint them, bless them, fill them for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen.